Glory to God. If you have your Bibles tonight, would you turn with me to the book of 1 John? We're going to be in chapter 2, and we're going to be in verses 18 through 29. And as you're turning there, let's go to the Lord in prayer. That's John chapter 2, beginning at verse 18, through, and we'll be through 29. Heavenly Father, tonight as we come before you, Lord, as your word declares that we've been studying, there are many antichrists in the world right now, but Lord, your word assures us that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to which if we will yield to his guiding and his leading, it's impossible for us to be deceived or misled. And Lord, tonight I just pray as we teach from your word that your Holy Spirit would take your word and make it come alive in our hearts and in our lips. And that, Lord Jesus, we humbly ask for your precious anointing to rest upon us all, Lord, to hear the word of God and to teach the word of God. For, Lord, we know we can do nothing without you. Have your way in the service tonight, and we give you all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. I want you to look with me out of the book of 1 John, chapter 2. Let's read verse 27, because it's verse 27 is the foundation for the question that was asked, what does the Bible mean when it says you have no need for a teacher? And it really doesn't specifically say that. We brought it out last week, but it's referring to a specific type of teaching that only the Holy Spirit can perform. Any good teaching can only be performed by the Holy Spirit. But this is not referring to the gift of the teacher. This is referring to a discerning, giving the believer the gift of discernment to know what's of God and what's not of God. Verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now let's jump back over to verse 18. I'm going to read verse out of John chapter 2, verse 18 through 21, just to recap a little bit of what we talked about 2 weeks ago when we met. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. It's an awesome statement when you consider this was written in the first century. How much closer are we today? And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. That's, again, it's a staggering statement when you consider the Holy Spirit moved on John to write this in the first century. And now here we are in the 21st century. How much closer are we to the coming of the Lord, and how many more antichrists are out there? Verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. In other words, the idea here is, we touched on this briefly last week, all teachers who turn to falsehood, as far as teaching the Bible, started out in the church. Now that's something to think about, isn't it? That's what John is saying. In other words, they went out from us. All these antichrists, all these false teachers, but they were never really a part of us. And what proved that they were not really a part of what we were teaching and preaching, which of course was Christ and him crucified, is that they left and went out and began to teach other things and put their faith in other systems of belief and changed the object of their faith away from Christ and him crucified onto something else. And that's, to me, that's staggering, but it still goes on today. Verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. And that's really where we left off last week, talking about how the Holy Spirit infilling the believer teaches the believer what's of God and what's not of God. The Holy Spirit, as he infills the believer, will confirm to that individual believer truth from error if that believer will listen to the Holy Spirit. As I was preparing this, we didn't touch on this much last week, but it crossed my mind one more time, how man is the only being under all of God's creation that can tell him no or turn away his heart from God. That's the power that the Lord gave us when he created us, the power of free moral agency. That's pretty awesome. And that unction, I call it the unction to function. It indwells us, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to listen to him because he will speak to us. He does all the time. And we were talking the last time we met about how we are just like a radio receiver, this fleshly body, and we're incapable of hearing from God until a receiver is implanted in us, a receiving unit. Because God's speaking all the time. But if you don't have something that will pick up that signal on the inside of you, you can't clearly hear from God. What is that? The unction, the Holy Spirit. As he fills us, he is our receiving unit, if you will, that allows us to receive what God is speaking to us. It's pretty awesome. And we need to listen. God is speaking all the time. Years ago, they had that old song out, "Turn Your Radio On." I know I'm dating myself. I think there might be two or three of us in here that remember that. Anybody remember that? Whoo, boy, do I feel old all of a sudden. Wow. Okay. I was batting a fly away. Try and change the subject quickly and get off this age thing. Okay. But we have that unction. Verse 21. And here's where we pick up our study for this week. "I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth." In other words, John is telling us through the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking to this body tonight too, that the truth is there because of what we believe. But he's making a delineation here. He's saying, basically, when he says lie, the idea is that truth and error cannot coexist together concerning who Jesus Christ is and what he's done on the cross. And sadly, most do not believe that or do not think that way. They think you can have a little bit of error if they're a nice person or, you know, if they teach most things right. Well, let me reiterate again. When you're studying the Word of God, teaching or preaching it, you can get a whole lot of things wrong. Nobody's theology is 100% perfect. You can believe the rapture's going to happen in the middle of the tribulation if you want to, and teach it. You're not really teaching a lie. I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Firmly so. But my justification before God is not predicated on what I believe about the rapture or when it's going to take place. Do you follow me on this? But if I detract in any capacity from what Christ did on the cross, I've gone into the grossest of error then. And Satan is a master at disguising. That's what this book of John is going to talk about in just a moment. He is a master at disguising, deceiving, and even seducing is the word we're going to read in Scripture here, and making people think they still have their faith in the finished work of the cross when they really don't, by leading them subtly away into believing in something other than that. We cannot compromise on the cross. There is no gray area. When Jesus Christ shed his precious blood on the cross for you and I, that alone totally justifies us. And Jesus Christ alone is the only one who could have done it. That's why you can't believe in Jesus and believe in Buddha as a source of faith or as a spiritual source of sustenance. That's why you can't believe in Jesus and Muhammad. That's why you can't believe in Jesus and going to a man and taking a wafer on your tongue and saying that's your salvation. See, because those things detract from the purpose or from the person of Jesus Christ. Chris and him sang about it tonight. No one else on earth deserves the glory and the praise but Jesus Christ. No one in heaven or earth deserves the praise and the glory except Jesus Christ. And so the idea of verse 21 of what it's telling us is that truth and error cannot exist side by side. And the specific truth being spoken of here is the person of Jesus Christ. Maybe, hopefully you'll recall when we begin introducing this, the church world in John's day in the first century was embedded in this Gnostic teaching, which taught that Jesus didn't really die on the cross, that he was just merely an apparition who came, and there was no real death on the cross, there was no real resurrection. And of course, you can clearly see the error in that. And that's why John's telling this church, you know the truth. You know that Jesus literally came. You know that he literally gave himself as a sacrifice on the cross. You know that he literally rose from the dead. And if you believe that truth, you can't believe this teaching that says he was just some kind of apparition. And he's going to get more specific about that as we go on. Let's go on to verse 22 now. And as always, Phil, thank you for putting that up there. Now, verse 22, from here on out, buckle your seatbelt. We're going to get some pretty sobering teaching from the Word of God. Who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ? Now, let me stop here and say Satan is too smart to come to a church full of people and just tell them, deny Jesus Christ. This sounds so simple on the surface. You're like, well, Pastor, of course, who is a liar but he that denied Jesus is the Christ? Anybody who would say that, I would immediately rise up and tell them, no. Jesus Christ is the Son of God who gave his life for me on Calvary. But what if I presented it to you like this? Oh, I agree with you. Jesus gave his life on the cross. I agree he shed his blood. But you know he paid for our redemption when he was in hell. That's where our redemption was paid for. Oh, I believe in the cross. I believe he died there. I believe he shed his blood there. Glory to God. But you know he had to go to hell to be tortured by Satan for 3 days and three nights. And then finally God said it was enough torture and he became the first born again man in hell. You have just effectively denied the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ with a teaching like that. And most of the church has bought into that type of teaching. And this is exactly what, and it's really the same old Gnostic teaching that was in the first century church that permeates particularly the Word of Faith movement and a lot of evangelical churches in America today. Everything in this Bible, oh, I feel the preach coming on right now. Everything in this Bible as it pertains to our justification before God happened at the cross. You don't find it mentioned anywhere else. It's always at the cross, at the cross, at the cross. And so, of course, Satan is not going to openly present a doctrine that says to the church, oh, deny Jesus Christ. He's going to try to interject some type of teaching that will, in effect, neutralize what Jesus did at the cross and presented in that way. That's what was going on in the first century church. Sadly, if you believe that silly Word of Faith doctrine about Jesus dying spiritually, it's the same thing. Because it takes away from his deity, that teaching does. And anybody got any questions on that? It's important you understand this. But here's, let me got a step. Everybody else all around me is shouting, amen, praise the Lord. Go on and preach it. No. God does things like that to test our allegiance to him. To whether we're going to stand up and say, that's not right. I'm not saying you have to be ugly about it and don't interrupt the church service. But for God's sake, don't keep going back and placing yourself under teaching when the Holy Spirit's telling you that's wrong. This is the gist of what we're studying in this and answering this question. When in verse 27, the word tells us, you have no need that any man teach you. It's speaking specifically of confirming truth from error. How many times has it been And Mike, you and I have talked about this, and I know others of you will bear witness with this. Have you been sitting in a service hearing somebody teach or preach, and something on the inside of you, I call it raking the spiritual fingers across the chalkboard of your soul? You know? And maybe you can't even, you know, and I know Satan uses this, I believe, against individual believers. Well, I just don't feel something right about this. But, and maybe at the time you can't explain it. Maybe you don't, maybe you couldn't verbally if somebody asked you. I don't know why I'm feeling this way, but I just feel something ain't right. That's the Holy Ghost talking to you. You better take whatever teaching you've been sitting under when you feel that way. Go home, get into your Word, and the Holy Spirit then will lead you into truth. And He will expose the error that you've been sitting under. But that's how He teaches us truth from error. Listen to it. Learn to listen to the Holy Spirit when He's telling you something's wrong. Don't override Him. We can do that. As human beings, we can choose not to listen to what He's saying to us. And He'll be ever patient with us. But if we persist in hard-heartedness, not wanting to listen to Him, I tell you, false teaching will always be so appealing to the flesh. Always. Now let me tell you how heady this teaching of Jesus died spiritually, because this is such a good example of what we're trying to bring forth in this series of teaching. How seductive it is to teach that, and I've heard the man say this before, Ken Copeland, he says the Holy Spirit told him he could have died on the cross if he had the same knowledge of the Word that Jesus Christ had. That's rank blasphemy. And I know any true believer who is not suppressing the Holy Spirit, saying that kind of teaching, Holy Spirit's going to tell them, don't listen to that. Something's bad wrong with that. And I remember the first time I heard it. I couldn't explain it to you like I do now, like I can now. But years and years ago, right when I was a new Christian, and I was watching Ken Copeland teach this kind of stuff, I knew then in my heart, something's not right about this. I didn't watch him. I quit watching him very much at all. And it wasn't until years later, until I became a little bit more educated in my Word, that I come to understand how blasphemous and how antichrist and how demonic a lot of the teaching that he and Kenneth Hagin formulated on this issue, how bad it was. And it always appeals to man's flesh to think you can become a god. Now, where have we heard that before? See, Satan's ultimate tactic doesn't change very much. That's what he promised man in the Garden of Eden. You know why God doesn't want you to eat this fruit? He knows in the day you eat thereof, you're going to become just like Him. Your eyes are going to be opened. Let's put it in a modern vernacular. Listen to our teaching and you're going to get revelation. You're going to get revelation knowledge if you've never heard before or never seen before or received before. And people in church pews literally fall under the sway of demon spirits, mistaking it for the movement and operation of the Holy Spirit if they don't listen. And you say, how can you make a statement like that, Pastor? Every spiritual teaching, you've heard me say this before, has one of two sources. There's no gray or middle area. It's either the Holy Spirit or it's a demon spirit. And demon spirits, I believe, operate most effectively not in the bar on the corner, but in the church when people turn off the Holy Spirit because of a teaching they've heard that appeals to them. So, oh, you're going to get rich if you give to me. God hasn't meant for you to ever be sick. God wants you to be a millionaire. He wants all of your bills paid. He's going to pay off your mortgage. He's going to pay off all of your debts if you'll just do what I'm telling you to do. And I've even heard them take it so far as blaspheming to the point where they say that it's all because of what Jesus did on the cross. You can have these things. Now let me tell you, I believe in blessing. Don't misunderstand me. God will take care of His children. And I don't care if you follow Jesus Christ and put your faith in what He did for you at the cross. Blessing is going to come your way. Blessing is going to come your way. Your finances are going to change. You're going to get favor on your job. God's going to find some way to bless you because you're His child. And He's going to give you everything you need. But to turn it into like a spiritual lottery, what He did on the cross, is evil. And that's what a lot of these antichrists, and that's what they are teaching. And the church has fallen sway under demon spirits, as they said in their pews, mistaken it for the Holy Spirit. You say, how can that be, Pastor? Because they will not allow the Holy Spirit to teach them truth from error and confirm to them truth from error. Most believers, if they're in the presence of something supernatural and it happens in the church, they automatically assume it's God. Doesn't it seem to follow logic? Why do you think the Bible over in this next chapter of John tells us, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether or not they be of God. Every message you sit under, every teaching you sit under, every time you see a miracle, every time you see something that is held up as this is from the Holy Spirit, you better test it. And again, the Holy Spirit will confirm to you truth from error. But I'll tell you this, here's an acid test. Where do they have Christ and what He did on the cross? Is that the center of that teaching? Is it the center of the operation of that gift? Who is getting the glory for what's being done? The Holy Spirit will only glorify Jesus Christ. He will not glorify a gift. He will not glorify a man. He will not glorify a ministry. He will not even glorify a pet teaching of someone. He only glorifies Jesus Christ and the truth of this word. And that's how He teaches the believer truth from error. And there's no excuse for any believer to ever fall under demonic sway or error-filled teaching if he'll listen to the Holy Spirit. We've got to move now. Now, who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and Son. Okay, apostolic friends, if you're here tonight, what do you do with that one? You know, apostolics believe in Jesus only. Who is Antichrist but he that denieth the Father and the Son? That ain't rocket science, folks. Pastor, are you suggesting apostolics are Antichrist? That's absolutely what I'm suggesting, because it's what the Word of God says. They've got to come out of that abhorrent teaching. I believe some of them actually get saved for a time, but if they turn off that, the Holy Spirit, and insist on going their own way, He's going to let them. And let me ask you something. One of the fruits of the Spirit is love. I've never met a meaner bunch of people than apostolics and people that are in religion. I'm talking about mean, evil, spiteful. And some in major evangelical denominations are just as bad. But apostolics in particular, I've never met meaner folks before in my life. I mean, they'll almost want to crucify you if you tell them, I don't believe you have to be baptized to be right with God. I don't believe you have to speak in tongues to be right with God. They'll accuse you of being Antichrist. Mean. Mean people. And you read it there in the Word. Verse 23, let's read on. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Wow. That's pretty plain, church. But how can people fall under a false teaching like that where it says Jesus only, He's in Him's everything, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, demon spirits, to corrupt the person of who Jesus is and what He did on the cross? And to deny mankind the benefits of His redemptive power on that cross? Who was He talking to on the cross when He said, Father, unto Thy hands I commend my spirit? If there's no Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, When we're not teaching three gods, they like to accuse us of that. Oh, you all teach us three gods. No, I'm talking about one God existing in three persons. It's like ice, water, and steam. They're all water, but they exist in different forms. But their basic rudimentary element is water. The Godhead's basically rudimentary element is deity, God, existing in three forms, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And to deny the Father, the Bible says, is Antichrist. To deny him as a separate person. Let's go on to verse 24 now. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. This is speaking from the beginning of their salvation and the correct teaching that John brought to them about Christ and him crucified. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. There it is again. The Godhead presented clearly. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Now that word seduce in the Greek is planos. And it has the connotation of it, of a man who is married, going down and connecting himself with a harlot on the street. Now that's the exact connotation. And to Romans 7 makes it even more plainer. Spiritual adultery is what's being referred to. When you leave the pure doctrine of Christ and him crucified as the object of your faith and try to detract from Jesus or add to what he's done on the cross, you've gone into the vilest form of heresy that there can be. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Seduce you. You know, I read a story as I was preparing for this. I never followed them much because I didn't like them even when I was in sin. But a lot of you have heard, how many of you have heard of the Grateful Dead? That group, the Grateful Dead? Jerry Garcia, and they would take acid and LSD on stage and play their instruments. It was amazing they could even play. But Jerry Garcia and the band was being interviewed one time, and they said, the thing that amazed us most is that no matter how high we were on acid or drugs when we were performing, there were times that something would come over us, and we would play harmonies and melodies that we didn't even know, that we couldn't hardly, in our own ability, move our hands along the chords or beat the drums even correctly in time. Demon spirits. And the church, if it doesn't allow the Holy Spirit to confirm truth from error, they're going to be setting under things just like that, because they'll be sensing a spiritual power that is present in the place. And again, the assumption is made by most believers. I've jokingly said it this way before. Well, it's odd. It must be God. You know, it's happening in church. It must be of the Holy Spirit. You know, when Brother Greg ripped off his shirt and went running through the sanctuary, that had to be God. I felt something when he did that. Yeah, what you felt was a demon spirit. And that's how so much junk has come into the church. Because the church likes, I'm saying this poorly tonight. I'm tired, been a long day. But the fleshly believer likes a good show when he comes to church. He's not coming to get sound spiritual nourishment and food from the Word of God. He wants to be entertained. And there's a plethora of churches out there that have picked up on that. And in most churches today, what they're thinking is the Holy Spirit, because they're feeling something. How often do you hear that? Well, you can't deny I felt something when I was in there. When them dancers put on them tutus, I just cried. I felt something. when them laser lights was a-going, oh, I fell to my knees. Don't laugh, Chris. That was totally innocent and not pre-thought out. It's a private joke between me and Chris. You know what I'm talking about? Good, don't. I need to get off of it. I felt something. Yeah, you did. You felt a demon spirit is what you felt. Manifesting demon power. And you say, how can you make a statement like that, Pastor? Did what was being done, did it glorify Jesus Christ? Shows don't glorify Jesus Christ. Shows do not glorify the Son of God. It takes the church holding Jesus as the sole object of their praise and adoration. And let me tell you something. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this. When Jesus is the sole object of praise and adoration, you feel something then. And it's the Holy Ghost you're feeling then. Because the pure power and the pure presence of the Holy Ghost is so much greater than most of the foolishness that's in the church today. But the church wants a show. They want to be entertained when they come to church. And that's being pandered to. I've said this before and I'll say it again. What we've done tonight, we've taught directly from the Word of God, and it's not my great teaching. God knows I feel like tonight, and I should have just stayed at home, but I'm not doing that to get sympathy. I'm just being honest with you. But this I know. It's come right out of the Word of God. And it may have not have been eloquent, it may have not have been entertaining, but the Holy Spirit has flowed. And good things will happen in your heart and life for sitting under the teaching of God's Word, with Christ being exalted. And it may not appear to be the most exciting thing in the world sometimes. And sometimes you might be fighting to stay awake with my poor presentation after a long, hard day at work. I feel sorry for y'all sometimes. I'd hate to have to listen to me. But when I'm giving the Word out, I know the Holy Spirit's in that. And even though it's not given with a lot of personality or flair, if it's the Word, good things are going to be happening in your heart. And you'll be spiritually fed. And there'll be a flow of the Holy Spirit coming into your heart and life to nourish you. But if it's a show, you'll feel something. You might even think, whoo, what a service that was. Man, they had the laser lights flashing Jesus all over the church. Why, there was even some gold dust that fell from one of the chandeliers when we were praising God. The other time, feathers fell. You think I'm making this up? There are, by the thousands, there are churches in the United States of America today. This is what they brag about occurring in their church services. Putting it on YouTube. And you know what? How deceived they can be? Yeah, I'm sitting there watching some of this stuff on YouTube where supposedly that one service, Ronnie, remember you and I were watching it? They were claiming feathers fell from the, I guess, symbolizing that the dove, the Holy Spirit, was there. Feathers fell from the ceiling. And these people are just there carrying on something awful. Just shouting, oh, look, there it is. And it's right on the YouTube. There's nothing there. There's absolutely nothing there on the video. That's demon spirits in operation. Convincing those people they're seeing something that ain't even there. And it's sad, but this is what happens when the church does not allow the Holy Spirit to give them discernment, and the church does not act on the discernment that's given. Because you shouldn't be supporting ministries that teach and preach such things like we've discussed tonight. But yet somebody is. Yes, Heather.
I was saying it's either black or white. Like either you preach from the Bible and what it says and what happened on the cross and you preach the message of the cross, or it's just a demon spirit.
Well, that's good.
That's what you're saying, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
It bugs me to death when people say church is boring, because I think to myself, it's not a fun activity. It's not Chuck E. Cheese. It's not, you know, Saturday night at the pub. I mean, it's church, you know. And if God speaks to your heart and you actually listen to the correct message, the excitement is in you. You don't need flashing lights. You don't need drinks. You don't need disco balls and everything else that goes on.
Feathers falling from the ceiling.
Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit works in you, and that is the excitement.
Boy, that's
so
good.
I hate when I hear about these churches with these, it's not even laser lights, it's just strobe lights, like, on them, and it's dark, and everybody's black and wearing the coolest clothes, and their hair's a certain way, and they're wearing the coolest glasses. And I'm thinking to myself, you're, quote, appealing to the world, but the thing of it is once they're in there, they need more and more stimulation because they get bored with everything each Sunday. But if the Holy Spirit was there speaking to these people, they would stay because of the message. But instead, they're staying for the show.
Boy, well, I can sit down tonight. That was eloquently and brilliantly stated, Heather, everything you said. You should have taught tonight.
Live from Lima.
I don't know if this is going to work, but he has a question.
Who?
Trevor.
Oh, Trevor.
Hey, Trevor, can you hear me?
Hey, Trevor.
Right now.
And this is technology at its finest.
All right, try it now.
Okay, are you able to hear me?
I can hear him a little bit.
Well, go ahead and just tell me and I'll ask it. Go ahead.
Michael, translate.
About how Israel wanted to have their own king, like the rest of the world, you know, and basically we read about how Samuel warned the people of Israel that if they would act like the world, if they would want worldly things, that Satan was going to take freedoms from them and liberties from them, and that happens right in the church.
Yes.
Where if we turn to the world as a church, if we want to do worldly things, there's bondage. Freedoms and liberties lead. You know, the Spirit of God, where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, Trevor. That's really good. Can anybody hear what he's saying? Barely? Okay. Yeah. Tell him thank you. It was a good comment, but it's kind of difficult to pull off in this venue. I don't mean to cut him off. But reverting back to what Heather said, that sums it all up. You know, the Holy Spirit will create excitement in that believer's heart. He will, if Christ and Him crucified is preached. Yes, Ravana.
Being content in whatsoever state I am.
Therefore I've learned to be content. Yeah.
I mean, we should find contentment. Like what Heather said. Perfectly.
Well, Jesus, only Jesus satisfies. Well, as a believer, only the Holy Spirit can satisfy us. And she said it very, very well, that if it's not the Holy Spirit, you've got to keep continually outdoing yourself. You know, instead of strobe lights, you've got to add the dancing waters to it, you know. That's always going to have to be something else to hold interest and attention, always. Let me read one thing real quick, and we'll be dismissed tonight. Thank you for your good comment, Trevor and Heather, both very excellent. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, that pull you away from Christ. And we're going to pick up next week at verse 27, which is really the crux of the answer to the subject matter we're dealing with. Any questions or comments before we dismiss tonight? You've been a great class. That's just a good stopping point right now. But know this, demon spirits are very operative in most churches, and that operative spirit of demonic forces They claim it's the Holy Spirit. And again, where is Christ in it? Where is Christ and what he did on the cross? And you can even make mention of Christ and him crucified. But if everything going on all around is detracting from him and not giving him glory, it's not of God. It's not of God. And the Holy Spirit will teach us that if we'll listen to him. Would you stand and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Any other questions or comments tonight before we're dismissed? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the indwelling power of your Spirit, Lord, that keeps us, that will instruct us and teach us in the right way to go, that will teach us truth from error. Lord, I thank you for this body. They're so hungry for the truth. Lord, I'm privileged to be their pastor. I really am. I love them, Lord. I love their spirit. They're hungry for the truth of your word. And Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to keep us all in that state as we live out in these last days. Though Antichrist abound, we know in Christ and what he did for us at the cross, we have safety, we have security, and we will be given discernment. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are and what you've done for all of us. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed tonight. Be safe going home.